Navigating the vast world of spirituality can be overwhelming, especially if, like me, you grew up being told there was only one God, one way to worship, and anything outside of that was just plain evil. Yeah, I didn't believe any of that. Welcome to Magic from the Root, a podcast for those of us who have chosen to follow a less conventional path. Join us as we talk about everything from herbs and alchemy to rituals, tarot, astrology, spirit guides, and all the other exciting things that they don't teach in Sunday school. It doesn't matter if you're a dabbler, a seasoned witch, or just trying to figure out where you fit into this big, beautiful universe, everyone is welcome here. Now grab some tea, center yourself, open your mind, and settle in for some good, old-fashioned magic talk. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Magic from the Root. I'm Odell.
And I'm Andrea.
And we are trying to get our heads in the game because fucking Mercury is in retrograde and wiped out all of my notes that I had done for this episode. So this is going to be fun on my part.
I love that.
But we're here with, I know this is like Andrea's holiday.
Ooh-hoo-ha.
And I love it too.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
We're here to talk about Samhain, not Samhain. I always have to say that. But Samhain, yay, it's fall. Like, where did, in my mind, it's still March because the last several months have just fucking sucked donkey balls. I guess the one good,
Puberty is,
this is going great.
Puberty is striking right? Hard today.
Why does that always happen when we're recording this show? Like on my other shows, if any of you have listened to Someone Probably Died, when I'm reading my notes, I tend to get ahead of myself and I start combining words. Like one particular episode that just aired this last Wednesday, I was talking about this black family who rented a house that they determined had about 200 demons and like it was possessing some of the kids.
Jesus.
But the mom herself, so there was a mother and a daughter and the daughter's three kids. And the mother was, these things weren't happening to her, but she believed that she had spirit guides or spirit guardians is what she referred to them as. But when I was reading these notes, it came out as spirit guardian instead of spirit guardian.
You're just making new words up every day.
Oh my God. So Aaron consistently gives me shit. Aaron's my co-host on that show. So I made a shirt that I hand drew myself with this stick figure frolicking through a graveyard with ghosts around him. And that's his spirit garden that he's frolicking through.
Oh, so, man. Yeah,
depending on what show I'm doing, either I'm hittering puberty or developing my own dictionary. So.
Oh, yeah. God, that's so good.
Good times. Good times. And we both have boyfriends now.
What? You didn't tell me you had a boyfriend.
You know, like, something has finally developed in this relationship. Like, we finally got to the point where we worked out all of our shit.
Yay!
And things are going really well right now.
Oh, so, man, I haven't had a chance to check up with you since I was wondering what happened.
And it just developed like this last week. We finally had the talk. And so we're someone that I've known for 12 years that we've just been friends and I've been going back and forth. Anyway, we won't get into all that, but we hit the point where we're like, let's just do this and see what comes of it. So,
I'm excited for you.
Yeah. So, and it happened before Mercury went retrograde. Whew. So I'm not worried about like just got into something that's not going to work out. So, which is kind of funny because we have really been going back and revisiting just this weekend as we've been talking, revisiting past mistakes and trying to correct those, which is it's a good thing that happens when Mercury is in retrograde.
Yeah.
Going back and clearing out the shit so that you can move forward.
Absolutely.
Which is kind of perfect with the time that we're in as well. Just trying to clean shit out because hopefully by the time Mercury is done, Samhain is hit, we have an election that completely changes our current
crash course that we're on,
yeah,
is the energy that I'm putting out there right now. So
yeah, I feel that. That sounds perfect to me.
Yeah, because I'm about done.
I think most people are pretty done right now. Yeah.
So before we jump in, we guess we should do our tea talk.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, since you're talking about what's going on with you, I'm going to just let you all know. Samhain is my absolute most favorite holiday. Samhain, Halloween, and Dia de los Muertos are all very, very different holidays, but also very mm-hmm. intricately tied together. And they all make me deeply happy. And this year, I am not celebrating at all. Because as you were referencing boyfriends, I am moving in with mine.
Yay.
And my last day here at the house will be on Samhain. And hoping to do some really deep ritual to have closure with this house and and really like have the time to be deep in rituals. So I'm in that like hard push to get things moved, but also can't move things because we're doing a complete basement remodel at the same time. And that's the room that I'm moving into. So we currently have, you know, a ceiling ripped down, putting up new electrical, framing walls. It's a lot.
Right.
So every moment of every day is a little full for me right now. And my brain is a little warped and tired. And so if I don't make sense today, roll with it, people. I am.
Oh, well, there's going to be a lot of rolling through this episode. So I'm just going to ask that you hang with us, because typically I go back and try to, you know, clean things up and kind of move things around, because we do tend to jump around here and there. And I just don't have time to do that this week because it's just fucking crazy. So you're kind of going to get what you're going to get. So just follow through us. Just lay back, smoke a doobie if you need to. It'll probably make more sense.
That's hilarious. Oh, man.
But when you were saying that you were doing this whole, like, you know, restarting, like, I just got this huge chill. Like, things are going to be really good for you. I just got this hit. Like, oh, this is perfect for her. So
thanks.
So just throwing that over to you.
Oh, I like
through the computer screen. Yeah, it was like, I just got this hit. Like, this is perfect for you. Like, this is exactly what you need. So
yeah, it feels really good. It's you know, it's hard and it's complicated, and we're like doing this big project together, and that's never easy. And it's not easy to do it in the process of moving. Like, it's like all these compounded factors, which feels like 2020 in and of itself, of all these compounded factors all at the same time, and just like, roll with it, people, roll with it. But
yeah, I think it feels good. If anything, yeah, this year I think has taught us, it's definitely reframed my mind and the way that I approach things. Like, because I was, and I think you can relate to this too, was kind of a control freak and needed control over every aspect. Mm-hmm. And this has taught me that there are just some things that you just need to let go of and roll with it. And I feel a lot lighter, even though that there's a lot of heavy shit going on. For my personal life and personal self, I have let go of a lot of things that's helped me kind of hit that balance that I didn't even know that I needed. I mean, I like balance. I didn't realize how out of balance I was until this happened. So
yeah,
it's helped a lot. So I'm drinking it's called Psycho Candy. I think I've had this before, but it just felt right for the season because it's a caramel, pumpkin, robust tea. It's delicious. So it's kind of like my version of Vapid White Girl PSL.
Oh, God, that was so good. Because I literally left my soon-to-be home and ran over here to do this recording, I'm drinking water.
Perfect.
I'm hydrating with just water.
Probably a good thing to do, and probably something that I could use some of as well.
Yes.
So, Samhain, we've been going through the wheel of the year through most of this year with you. What's funny is we started recording in January. We launched in February. So we were, you know, Yule and Samhain were kind of behind us. So this is really the witch's new year. It's the end of 1 year and the beginning of the next, basically, is what's going on at Samhain.
It's also, I'm sorry, I'm going to just jump in really quick as you say that. It's also the very, like, official end of summer. It's summer's end and the beginning of fall. Or, sorry, the beginning of winter. It's like the official winter is now coming. It's opening to that dark half of the year.
And this is also where it was believed, and I definitely have felt this, that the barrier between the physical world and the spirit world is really thin right now. Mm-hmm. So this is, for me, I get really excited about this because it's like, I can really make some shit happen, which I'm really looking forward to. Also having a very intense ritual on the 31st, because we also have a full moon.
Yeah.
We've got so much power and so much shit that we can change 3 days before the election. And I plan on using every fucking bit of that power that's there to make some change. But ancient Celts marked Samhain as the most significant of the four fire festivals. And this is the last of the fire festivals in the fall. Early texts around Samhain, early Celtic texts, mentioned that this was a mandatory celebration that lasted 3 days. And it typically goes, like, I know Samhain as like the 31st in November, October 31st, November 1st. But evidently, it extended even another day for ancient Celts. And this was a time when the community was required to show themselves to the kings or the chieftains of the local tribes. And failure to participate was believed to result in punishment from the gods, usually in illness or death. So people like took this very seriously. Like, we have got to go out and make ourselves known. There was also an aspect of the military in Ireland where holiday thrones for like commanders or, you know, of the soldiers were set up, and anyone who committed a crime or used weapons during the celebration were faced with a death sentence. So they took this, like, you need to focus, don't be a dick, like, you need to be present for this. And they also mentioned that there was 6 days of drinking alcohol to excess. And I know Irish people, they love their alcohol.
Hell yeah.
But this was like, we're going to get balls up drunk during this time because we survived and we're heading into some dark shit. So we're going to prep. We're going to get prepped for it.
Let's prep for not hanging out with any of our peeps for a long time, because it's going to be cold and dark and rainy and there's going to be nothing to do.
Do you have anything to add there?
I was just going to say, in regards to when they would gather, there was a lot of different things that they did that actually has been pulled into what we associate with Halloween today. And really, you know, our version of Halloween, of American Halloween, is a combination of Samhain and Dia de los Muertos. We've kind of morphed those two things together to turn them a little bit into what we would call Halloween. But one of those that happened at Samhain is our association with bobbing for apples. You know, people are always like, where the hell, why do we bob for apples at Halloween? So when communities would gather together, they would light this big communal bonfire, and typically there'd be a stone, for each person around the fire. And there was, the belief that if after the, in the morning, after the bonfire was out or after the festival was over, if any of those stones were displaced, those stones were the people who wouldn't survive. They wouldn't live through the year. But one of the other things that they would do, which is related to the bobbing for apples, is they would peel an apple and toss it over their shoulder. And then they would check to see if a letter appeared on the apple. And that letter would be the name of the beginning of the name of their spouse. So if you're unmarried, you'd be like trying to figure out that your spouse's name. And then they would bob for apples for good luck for the following year.
Nice.
One of the other things that they used to do, there's so many things around courtship as well, which I thought was so interesting, or around like how families stay together. So nuts would be roasted. And if there was two nuts being roasted together, if they stayed together in the pan, then that couple would stay together. If the nuts separated in the pan, then the couple would be split, right? They'd be separating at some point.
Right.
They drop egg whites in hot water and the number of and the shapes and how they would kind of come up would determine how many number of children you would have.
Okay.
And then because, again, this is a huge time. Basically, this is a huge time of divination. Right. So we're looking for messages in everything. So messages in the apples, messages in the fire, messages in the nuts, messages in the eggs. And then kids in particular in Ireland and any area that would be of kind of Gaelic origins would chase the crows. And then from the ways the crows would disperse, they would do divination from that.
Mm.
So you would, you know, figure out which direction they flew, and that would mean something in particular, or how they flew and how they separated. So it's very traditionally a time of divination because, again, like Odell said, it's a time where the veil is very, very thin. So we're getting really strong messages from spirit, and we're able to really work with those in some really big and powerful ways.
Yeah, so the Celts believed, as we mentioned, that the barrier between worlds was not only thin, but it was also breachable during Samhain. And so they would prepare offerings and left them outside of villages and homes and around the fields for the fairies or the Shee, depending on how you want to refer to them. They would dress as animals and monsters at this time so that the fairies wouldn't be tempted to kidnap them, because the fairies, and I've heard the story, I don't know if I'm going to get it right, so feel free to correct me, but the fairies would basically come rushing out of the hills.
The fairy
mounds. This was their time. Yeah, this was like, we're on the hunt. This is our time. We're coming out. We're going to fuck up some shit. And so the people were like, you know, they had to protect themselves so that they weren't taken into the underworld. So I know that it was said if you found a stone near a river that was dry and I think had a hole in it, that if you wore that, that would protect you from the fairies. Something around
the hag
that. Stone. Yeah. And then also if you wore your clothes inside out, it would make them think, I guess, that there would, like, you weren't walking through the world in the way they would expect like a normal human to do. So that would protect you from them taking you. And there was another thing that you could find, I think also by the river, but if you carried it with some iron and some salt, it allowed you to travel with the Fae into the other side with them. But then that also grounded you in the normal world and allowed you to step back without being kidnapped or taken.
And the reason why you would do that is because you would be going back to rescue family members who had been taken by the Fae at some point. So this was a time where, you know, because the fairy mounds were so open that if there were any of your, like, living or dead, typically dead, family members who had been kind of taken by the Fae, then you could go and rescue their spirits and rescue them. Yeah, it's just so fascinating. So it's really important. It's really important that you leave things out for the Fae to appease them. And as Odell was saying, this is part of where the tradition of kind of dressing up in disguise comes from. It's also where our version of trick-or-treating comes from. Right. So this was basically as kind of time went on, there was a couple of different things that would happen. So you could go, like, kids or people would basically go onto other neighbors' properties. And it was basically a kind of an expected thing that they would play tricks on the properties, right? So they'd be mimicking like dead spirits, and they'd be mimicking dead family members, and they would be going to be doing mischief on the property. But basically, they would say, like, you had the option to leave them and give them some food, which would be a treat, or they would trick you and do mischievous. So this was a time where it was kind of like you were making a deal, right? Like, I'll give you this thing so you don't fuck my land. right? And so it's, you know, and now that's turned into trick-or-treating, where, you know, all these kids get dressed up in these really fun costumes to scare away the dead and to confuse the Fae, and go to people's houses and ask for a treat in lieu of doing something mischievous. There's another thing that also happened that's kind of similar to that, which was called mumming. And this was when actors and kind of amateur people would get dressed up in disguises and masks, and they would go around and cite plays and enact plays for food as well. So kind of interesting, you know, in particular at this time of the end of harvest, it was when people had a lot of abundance and were able to give in an offering for service or an offering for a lack of a pain in their own butt.
I also like some of the mythology, you know, because I love October. I just fill every spare minute with either a horror movie or a horror TV show. And I like some of the monsters that were associated with Celtic mythology around this time. Like, you've probably heard of the Pooka, which is a shape-shifting creature. They would leave offerings in the field from the harvest for the Pooka so that he wouldn't hurt them or harm them. We also had, I don't know if they're the Dullahan. They were impish creatures, but sometimes they would appear as headless men on horses. So we've all heard Washington Irving's story of the headless horseman. Yep. So, and they rode flame-eyed horses, and they, if anyone saw one, that was a death omen. So if you saw one, you were going to die. We also had Lady Gwyn. She was a headless woman who was all dressed in white. We've all heard stories of the ladies in white. And she would chase any night wanderers. And she often had a black pig. And she was also someone that, or an entity that you didn't want to run into. And then we also had a group of hunters known as the fairy host. They would come from the west, and then they would come to your house and steal your soul. So you'd need to do some, you know, protection around your home to keep them out as well.
Interesting. I didn't know any of that. That's so good. I love that.
Yeah, I got that from, because I've been taking these Celtic history classes online. And so I noted those when I was going through some of these. They were just recorded classes that I found. I noted those down to share on this episode.
That's so cool. So one of the things that definitely should be talked about is that the actual word Samhain means November. And November, traditionally, there's tons of recorded history going back to at least 730 CE, the Christian era, that talks about November being the blood month. And so it's the blood month because this was when all of the livestock were being slaughtered, and all of the animals would be that, you know, we'd worked so hard to raise were being slaughtered to prepare them for wintertime. So again, a very strong time of death, but death that is in honor of helping the community to survive. The reason why, kind of through time, things have shifted a little bit, in particular like in American culture, and why we associate Halloween with Samhain. And again, these are two very separate holidays. I don't want to combine the two, but I do like to tell people how they're tied together and why they're tied together, because many people assume that they're very similar. But basically around like the 8th century or so, the Christian church started honoring martyrs, specifically on November 1st, right? Which would be All Saints Day. And so the day before that would be Hallowmas. Is that right? Sorry. All of a sudden I'm like, am I saying this backwards? So All Saints Day is All Hallowmas. It's the same day. So the mass that was given on All Saints Day is for all the saints who have not been named, and everyone's kind of honored all the same time. So it's why it's All Hallowmas, like all of them who are being hallowed are massed together. And so the night before was All Hallows Eve, which is October 31st, which is how we get Halloween. So yeah, it's just kind of interesting that how the church and the way that they were honoring saints and the dead and the departed was very, of course, closely tied to this very strong celebration that was also about honoring our dead and honoring our ancestors, and also the slaughtering and the death of many of the animals to help us survive. And that those two kind of got smushed together to what we now in America consider to be Halloween. So mm-hmm. I just find it really fascinating.
And what's even like this doesn't surprise me, but just irks me was before that happened, the Christian church actually tried to take Samhain and reframe it and moved it in the 5th century to May 13th mm-hmm. as a day to celebrate saints. And then a new pope in the 9th century, as you mentioned, pulled it back over Samhain and then made All Saints Day, All Souls Day, and All Hallows Eve.
Yeah, it's so interesting. So since we are talking along those lines, I do want to really kind of really address how, you know, in modern culture, we're so afraid of death, and it's something that we kind of avoid like the plague. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the reasons why, you know, my birthday is right at this time. I'm a November 2nd baby. And so I grew up really having a lot of Halloween parties as birthday parties and loving Halloween and loving like the creativity and the playfulness and also the gore and the creepiness and that kind of diving into the darkness of life, because we tend to avoid that, right? We don't like the things mm-hmm. that are creepy crawly. We don't like the things that go bump in the night. We don't like the things that put us on edge and make us think about our own mortality. But this was a time where it was something to be deeply, deeply honored and really work with that energy, which is why it's very much associated with hag energy. The hag, of course, being that version of the triple goddess who basically is washing the death shrouds and preparing souls for their crossing over into the other world. And it's a really, really beautiful time. She's actually called the Washer at the Ford because of that. She midwifes us into the other world. She midwifes us into what it means to die and what it means to let go of this earthly realm. So she's someone to be honored as well as our ancestors. This is a time when typically there'd be a huge feast, right? Because there's just been this major slaughtering of all the animals. And so there'd be a huge feast and everyone would come and sit at the table and be served from oldest down to youngest. And at dinner, and this is a really beautiful tradition that I think people should continue to do. And I try to do when I have people with me, who I'm in ritual with around Halloween, is at that dinner, say the names of any loved ones who have passed away and have gone on to the other world and really honor them and make sure that you've set out a spirit plate that is at the head of the table to honor all of the dead ones in our lives who we love and we miss and we cherish, and say their names before anyone actually eats, so that we're bringing them into this offering and this sweetness and this communal gathering. And then saying the names of the new babies that have been born for the year to honor the lives that have also come in. It's just a really sweet and beautiful practice.
It's kind of like the Celtic tradition of the Dumb Supper.
Yeah.
Which is when, so like you would make this huge meal and before you could eat, you had to invite in all of your ancestors so they could join you. And then this was also a time where the family would interact with the ancestors. So like children would play games to entertain them. Adults would update their dead ancestors on the past year's news. So, you know, what have you missed since you were here last time when you come to visit, and kind of give them an overview, kind of the year's news. And then they would leave the doors and windows open at night with cakes and other treats for them that they could take with them when they left.
Yeah, it's so, so sweet. Again, I want to really impress upon people, like, this is a really important time to honor death and to look at the things that we're really afraid of around death and dying. And this is part of why there is so much gore at Halloween, right? It's the one time of the year where we actually take the time to kind of dive into the scary aspects of life, which of course, again, it's associated with kind of this tradition of trying to confuse the fae and confuse dead spirits who are trying to kind of steal souls. And mm-hmm. but really it's like we get to dive into the the kind of grossness of humanity that is also a reality of humanity, right? Mm-hmm. Like bodies decay, things get messy and disgusting and stinky and ugly and gross. And these are the things that I fucking love to celebrate. It's hilarious. I get so excited to do it. And just funny because unlike Odell, I am not someone who likes scary movies anymore. I mean, like I used to watch them a lot when I was young and now I'm like, nope, like I'm not into murder mystery stuff. I'm not into those things. But come this time of year, I'm like, bring on the creepy, bring on the disgusting. It makes me so happy. It's so funny.
So some other things that came about from, you know, the Middle Ages, we carve pumpkins now for our jack-o'-lanterns. Yeah. It used to be that these were turnips. So they would carve turnips and then they would attach them to strings, to sticks, and embed them with coal, which were used to scare off the fae or prevent, they're stuck around the house so that, you know, those spirits wouldn't enter the house. They'd be scared off by these things. And then also another thing that just I have to point this out because of just thinking back to how violent, I mean, there's a lot of violence in the world, but this just kind of makes me laugh. But men used to toss burning wood at each other as a game.
sounds like fun.
Yeah, right, right. Kind of like chasing the flaming wheel down the hill to the water.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, I just can't imagine wanting to be on the receiving end of catching a burning piece of wood. Like, I just imagine this big old fucking tree stump thrown at me that's on fire. I would, like, jump, duck, run, hide, scream, and, like, then be kidnapped by the fae.
That just sounds like some serious dumb shit right there. Sorry, right. The images in my mind are so funny. Wow. Yeah, no, yeah. That's not a game that I suggest you all play in honor of Samhain.
Nope. I think I'm good without that one.
So funny. So again, yeah, I mean, this is a time where the veil is super, super thin, right? It's the new year where we're releasing all of the old shit from this last year and stepping into a new year and new life and new being. And because again, the hag is the energy that births us into a different world. It's really important to honor her at this time. Also the Kaliach, which is witch in Gaelic, but also it's more of a, you know, the association with the hag is not that she's like ugly, old, and frail. It's that she is wise and she is powerful and she is necessary. She has mm-hmm. been through all the phases of life and knows how to midwife someone into a whole different way of being. And so there's like a lot of honor that goes with that. And I feel like it's, again, one of those things, because we're so afraid of death in our culture and we're so afraid of aging and we're like all the things that go with that. It's really important to honor the elderly in our lives at this time and to really thank them for their wisdom and the ways in which they've helped us to move through time and space and all the offerings that they've given.
I'm just going to interject here. So like I come from a very white, very conservative, very racist family. And while I don't honor that part of them, I honor the lessons that I learned from that of who I don't want to be. So
yeah.
You can look at it from both sides.
Yeah, absolutely. So working with the hag or the crone, the Morrigan, the Kaliach, all of those are really powerful at this time. On the more masculine side, the horned god is honored at this time. The stag, the god of the wild hunt. Animals, it's a really important time to honor animals at this time, and in particular the animals that are being sacrificed to nourish our bodies. Also working with grains and corn, because those are major harvest elements. So those are really good ones to work with. Clearly at this time in, again, kind of Halloween realm, there's this association, I'm going to sidetrack a little bit here, but there's association with witches. This is the time of witches. Of mm-hmm. course it is. Hello, it's our new year.
I mean, isn't it always our time?
Yes. And so, you know, this is a time if you are, you know, claiming the word of witch and you are claiming that as your spiritual practice to have this very earthly based practice where you're honoring God and goddess and you're really proud of that. I really like press upon people to stand proud in that on this day on Samhain, because it's an important day to stand in your own truth. That being said, this is where I was going to sidetrack, is there is an association of witches riding broomsticks at this time, right? There's always the imagery of witches flying on their broomsticks at Halloween. And so I just want to talk about that a little bit because it's so fucking fascinating. There is a strong correlation in two different realms for that. One is that the broomstick is actually like a phallic symbol, and it's like witches who, of course, most of the time have been associated with people with vaginas, are, you know, really in their sexual power. Like they're not afraid of it. They're riding this very phallic symbol and like, yes, this is who I am. I embody who I am. I honor my sexuality. I honor my power and my presence in the world. I am highly elevated, right? So there's that kind of general association with riding broomsticks. But on the other end, if you're going to look historically, there's actually a psychedelic association with this. And what that is that there's lots of, or not lots, but there is some historical data that correlates that because of a lot of the hallucinogenic herbs that were used to do medicine and to do trance work, that at this time in particular, those of us who were practicing these ancient traditions would craft together a potion that was hallucinogenic to go into trance. And the easiest way to absorb that into the body was typically to put it into an area where there's sweat glands. And so that would be like the armpits, the vaginal canal, and the anus. And so if you were to stir your pot with a stick or a broomstick, or usually probably just be a ladle, and then you would put that between your thighs, it'd be an easier and safer way to ingest hallucinogenic medicine than taking it internally. And then, of course, you would go into a very frenzied state where you're dancing and feel like you're flying, which is the association with actual flying on a broomstick, and be taken into another realm to receive messages from spirit. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit of a piece around how we get witches on broomsticks and Halloween. And again,
and you think about all those little kitty cartoons where like, oh, look, a witch on a broom. And like, uh-huh, she gives them dick.
She's riding that broomstick, riding it hard. Yeah, I mean, I just think it's really, you know, I just love how there's always an interweaving of kind of historical information and these stories and fairy tales and how they weave from one culture into another throughout time and how they all kind of become slightly entangled. And it's nice to untangle them so that you can really truly honor each one as they're meant to be honored, but also see the connections and the correlations. I think it's really pretty cool. Let's see. What else did I want to say? If you're going to build altars at this time, of course, working with coffins, skulls, bones, bats, crows, fall fruits, pumpkins, turnips, marigolds, all of those are going to be really sweet and powerful. As well as the colors of orange and brown, right? It's representing kind of the death of all the living things, which is why we associate orange mostly with this time of year and with, again, Halloween, not Samhain. What else am I forgetting? Nuts and seeds, again. It's a really fun time to do divination with nuts and seeds. It's again, a time to leave out food or drink for the fae, which is why we give, traditionally, we used to give food to trick-or-treaters that was actual, like, food we made. Now it's all just candy crap, but still. Hazelnuts in particular, apples, those are really good foods and fruits to work with for divination. And, you know, because this is one of the biggest times of the veil thinning, and it is a time where time literally kind of loses meaning, and we're in a world that where the past, the present, and the future are all converging at the same time. If you want to do ritual, be aware that you will be slipping through time in a very powerful and sometimes elusive and confusing way. Mm-hmm. So make sure you're really grounded before you do your ritual work. But also, if you want to enhance that and work even more with that liminal space, then consider going to holy sites or ritual sites that are border areas between land and shore, or bridges that are crossing between, you know, land and water, crossroads, boundaries between lands, as in like borders between states or borders between cities or counties, anything that represents a threshold, even like the threshold of a doorway, or do your magic at twilight or dawn on Samhain. Those are going to be super, super potent and powerful times. I think that's all.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure I could, like, that's all, like, the things that I think of technically around this time.
Right.
On a personal note, I do want to say that I probably said this earlier, but besides this being a time of Samhain in and of itself, of being this, like, really deeply honoring time of our ancestry, of our loved ones who have passed, of being able to sit with them and like be in meditation and light a candle and feel like they're so much closer and have a meal with them, please try to make their favorite food for them. Please honor them with the things that feel represent them. This is, again, one of the reasons why I really deeply love and have so much respect for the Mexican tradition of Dia de los Muertos, because it's so honoring of loved ones in this way where there's such deep caretaking of going to the grave sites and cleaning them and beautifying them with seeds and flowers and fruit, and then staying there and sleeping with your dead loved ones and singing to them and playing cards. And it's a celebratory act instead of this like, oh my God, death is so terrifying. right. You know, it's like really, really beautiful. And to me, Samhain is that same thing, right? It's such a beautiful way to honor our ancestors and honor the people who have brought us into the world. You know, they're our bones, our blood, our DNA, and to really spend a moment to have a meal with them and to sit with them energetically. And then for me, Halloween, which is a separate thing, is about the playfulness and the creepiness and the creativity and the imagination and this interweaving of like childlike nature that goes hand in hand with death, right? It's like a full cycle of life and death together, of how we can celebrate and honor death while being playful and imaginative and childlike in and of ourselves. It's why I love throwing a huge fucking Halloween party normally, and I will make a huge meal. And I do all of it because I want everyone to be able to eat, and I want everyone to be able to like play and have dance and have fun and have games and have all the things happening. And I fucking lose my mind for literally 3 months straight to prepare for Halloween. It's kind of ridiculous and an obsession of mine. And this year it's not happening, which is kind of good and kind of bad all at the same time. So yeah, it's just, if you can take a little more of a respectful look at Samhain and a playful, childlike look at Halloween, it's such a like much more like beautiful and profoundly powerful way to work with these two holidays and to kind of interweave them together in a way that's a lot more honoring of the history of both.
Just a couple of other things. I know I try to throw in celestial events that happen at this time. So we will be in the the astrological sign of Scorpio. Whoop, whoop. You know, it's funny. Some of my closest friends are all Scorpios. All you fiery little fuckers.
It's because we're amazing.
Don't take no shit, that's for sure.
Well, you know, that's just how we do.
And then we also have the Phoenix is visible in the southern horizon, which is kind of, you know, it's totally fitting with this time because the Phoenix is all about dying and then being reborn from its own ashes. Samhain is a, you know, an ending and a beginning. Mm-hmm. So perfectly fits there. But then we also have the Pegasus. And the Pegasus is, you know, a bringer of inspiration. So I kind of like the whole rebirth thing and then being inspired in your next circle of life. I know we've talked a lot about the importance of cord cutting. And I know some people who do their cord cutting around Samhain.
Yeah.
I also know some who do it on New Year's. I do mine on my birthday. So I try to compartmentalize my rebirth. So I guess I have three of them over the course of, you know, 4 or 5 months, because they all kind of happen back to back for me. Mm. But so if you do like to do cord cutting, and I almost said cord cunting.
I don't know what that is, but it sounds fun.
I don't either. Cord cutting, you know, you might want to maybe think about doing that on Samhain.
So good.
If you don't have anything else, I have a tarot card that's kind of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I'm like, I feel like there's so many more things that I should say and can say. And I don't, nothing's right. coming to me right now. So, yeah.
Well, I just received this deck that evidently I had pre-ordered several months ago and forgot about. But I love Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas movie. And so this is a Nightmare Before Christmas deck.
Oh my gosh, how fun.
Yeah, and it's kind of a novelty deck. So, you know, the suits aren't what we would typically expect. So I drew the Ten of Presents, which...
Oh, it's so good. Oh, I wish you guys could see it. Can I describe it?
Yeah.
Okay, so there is a... I'm going to say it's a Halloween tree, actually. It's a white tree that has presents and bats and... kind of looks like pumpkins all over it. And there's underneath the tree are these presents that are all black and orange, right? Death and fall. And then if any of you watch, I think of this as it looks very much like the snakes from Beetlejuice. It's totally what it makes me think of. It's an orange and black snake that's all wrapped around the presents. It's so good.
Yeah, that snake is in Nightmare Before Christmas, but it is like Tim Burton did both of them. So I think it was kind of his little Easter egg that he put in there. Yeah. But this is the same card. So if we were looking at the Ten of Pentacles, so the Ten of Presents represents Ten of Pentacles, which is really a card about completion. And it's a card about wealth and about reaching that place in life where you feel comfortable, you feel taken care of, you have all the things really that you need. And, you know, the pentacles in a standard deck is associated with the earth element. And earth element represents life and prosperity and health. So this is basically telling us that we have all we need for this moment, which is important, right? At Samhain, when you're kind of celebrating to close up for the winter. Mm-hmm. You want to feel safe. You want to be ensured that you have everything that you need and that things are going to be okay. And I think we could all use that message.
Ooh, especially right now this as well. Year. Yeah. I mean, please, please, please do some powerful work at Samhain this year to push this fucking country in the right direction. We get to make really big, huge positive change, and we have to really fight for that.
Yeah, because, you know, even if we do, even when we do push the motherfucker out and we have a more liberal and progressive,
sane
president and vice president, yes, sane human, and, you know, we have some logic hopefully in both the Senate and the House. You know, not only do we want to do work to push things out, and I always try to remember this because I tend to get all caught up in my emotions and I'm like, just destruction, destruction, destruction. I got to knock them down, knock them down, knock them down, which is all well and good, but we need to have something to back that up.
Yeah, we got to call rebuild. In what we really want.
Yeah. So be sure that you're balancing that, because it's one thing to knock that down, but, and we're going to have a rough year ahead of us. Ugh. I mean, there's been a lot of damage that's come up. Not only just, I mean, it came to light over the last 4 years. This has been brewing for a while. Yeah. It's just been reignited. So we have a lot of healing we need to do. So be sure that you're backing up, you know, you're taking something down, but you have something that you're putting out there in place to rebuild in a more positive way behind that.
Yeah. I just did ritual with my coven, earlier this month. Gosh, was that last week already? Jeez.
Just a couple of weeks ago when we had the first full moon of the month.
Man, it's going so fast.
I know.
Yeah. And we did that. We really like put to the fire the things that we wanted to destroy and let go of. And then as soon as we were done with that and really clear on exactly what needed to go, we called in and envisioned the country and the future that we actually want to live in, because it's really important mm-hmm. that we're not just all like, I just want things to be better. That's very arbitrary, right? Mm-hmm. You really want to get specific and call in the things that you believe we as humans deserve and need and can have in mm-hmm. our existence and in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, if all of us collectively did deep ritual on this full moon of Samhain, woo! Mm-hmm. Damn, we could make some amazing shit happen.
Right, right. And, you know, I've been doing a lot of work to heal the minds of, I mean, there are a lot of angry, some of them are, you just can't rehabilitate them, but those angry, poor people in general, but especially the white people who are so fucking brainwashed that what they're working for, all this destruction and this vitriol and this divisiveness, that they're only making things worse for themselves. Yeah. So trying to heal the way they think as well, to try to turn that so we can not only make this change, but put a lot more power and a lot more healing just in society, just the way we treat each other, so that we can't be taken advantage of by these old white rich men who have manipulated all of us for so many decades. Mm-hmm. We have to change that. And there's so much shit that's happened because of that needs healing. So we really need to cast a broad net, and it's up to us to plant those seeds.
Yeah. I'm encouraged. I'm actually like, I'm feeling encouraged. And I, you know, I have to say, I'm also finding that a lot of the people in my life are, because of COVID and because of all the fuckery that's happening right now, are finding, really tapping into what they need to feel whole and feel safe mm-hmm. and feel ready for anything. And for mm-hmm. most of us, that means like really getting clear on who the people are in our life that we really want and need, and the ways in which we want to serve community and be held and be seen. And mm-hmm. it's been painful, but it's been also really, really beautiful. So I'm mm-hmm. I'm encouraged. You know, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but I'm encouraged that things are shifting for the better, because they're also really fucking horrible and hard.
Right. And it's going to take a lot of work. Yeah. I mean, you know, we're not going to wake up on November 4th or even on January 1st and everything's going to magically go away because 2020 is behind us. We still, I mean, our work is ahead of us, but we have to start now.
Yeah.
That sounds like feels like a great way to end the show. Yeah. All right. Thanks, you all. Happy Samhain to you, and go out and do some good work.
Yeah. And also get your trick and treat on.
Exactly. And ride your broom.
Have a good one.
Bye, peeps.
Rating and subscribing to the podcast helps like-minded listeners find the show, and in turn, helps to build our little community. Why not head on over to iTunes or your favorite podcasting app and help us out? Also, we love connecting with our listeners. You can follow us on Instagram @magicfromtheroot. And if you have a suggestion for a future episode, or if you think you might have something to add to the show, you can send us a message from the Contact Us page on our website at magicfromtheroot.com. Here, you can also find past episodes, show notes, and other magical tidbits. See you next time.
This podcast was brought to you by literally everything.